Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Amen. Let's get your books and turn to page 235. Page 235, let's everybody stand and sing. He set me free. On the first, what's like a burden, prison I dread, no freedom from my sorrow I feel, but Jesus came and listened to me. The bonds of prison for me. Oh, I'm glory found my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he said, on the second now. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. And glory set me free, and he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he said, sing the last now. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of the world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working. Praying to hand glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free, yes, he set me free, and he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, I'm singing again, sing it, choir. Yes, he set. Oh yes, he set me free. Glad you're free. Say amen. 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 We have had a time this week, have we not? Amen. For you visitors, just hang on because we've had a time. Brother Alton.
Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. I thank you, Brother Kelly, for bringing your church to sing to us tonight. Thank you. I know there's 100 places y'all could have been tonight, and y'all set aside your schedule, and you're here, and I want to thank you. We don't take it for granted. We appreciate it so much. Well, thank you for being here, and I'm not going to get in the way, but I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Kelly. I've never heard Pastor Kelly preach. I've heard him kind of preach, you know, like where between songs he'll get something on his mind and kind of share it with the congregation. So we're going to have a great treat tonight.
How can I express how much
the joy my heart now knows. How can I begin to measure love that ever grows? How can I then explain what happens when I speak your name? Lord, how? Please tell me how.
Side, if you would, let's make welcome the choir from Holy Ground Baptist Church tonight, if they would. Your choir, y'all come on.
Lord and Creator, who witnessed and conquered the grave.
manger in Bethlehem held Mary's little lamb, and the cross on Golgotha held the nails that pierced his hands. Then Satan said, I've won, I told him. The tomb said, I'll hold him. And death said, he's mine forevermore. For 3 days and nights, hell had a jubilee. But just as dawn was breaking, Satan thought he'd check and see. The tomb said, I can't find him. Death said, I could not bind him. He got up, and when he left, he took my keys.
Worthy is the risen Lamb. Worthy is the risen Lamb. For Satan could not beat him, and hell could not defeat him.
See, my Lord has taken good care of me.
More.
But folks, if that didn't bless you, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. You're welcome to go out, come back in, and try again. Hey, real quickly, before brother comes to preach, we do have a nursery downstairs if you need one. And also, he said, get more in it. Okay, I'm in it now. So, also, if you don't mind, cut your cell phones off, please. No ringing cell phones during the church service. And also, you might find some blankets sprinkled around the church. We sprinkled about a dozen of them, a little fleece blankets around. And the reason we did that is because some of you ladies are fanning and some of you are freezing. And Miss Pina's wrapped up with about half of those blankets over here that we laid out. So, Miss Pina's got it. But just wanted to bring that to your attention. And before Brother Kelly comes, let's remember Chris Johnson in prayer. He lives just outside of Columbus, Ohio, and was attacked from the rear. He's both of our Brother Johnson's third brother. So he was attacked 2 days ago, and he's in a coma, not doing very well. So if y'all don't mind, let's remember Chris Johnson. Brother Kelly, we love you. And you've been a friend to me. You've been a friend of my family. And I look across the congregation, and I see some other families you've been a friend of, too. So I want you to come and preach your heart out. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Well, if you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
It is a joy and honor to be here tonight and really stand behind this platform, on this platform tonight. And I'm going to ask, anybody hot over here, raise your hand. All right, got a couple. Anybody cold over here, raise your hand. If y'all swap places, that'll be good, all right? We'll try that and see if that works. Y'all done tried it, Miss Denise? Good to see you, sir. Well, she's got, now one, if you want to shout, you got 10 blankets on. It's going to be hard to do that. She said she can still do it. Amen. Well, it is a joy and honor for me to be here tonight. And let me say, church, Holy Ground, thank you so much. And choir, wonderful job. I love my church. You'll never hear me going anywhere, talking to other pastors, anybody say anything negative about my church. Amen. And I say that with respect. It's the Lord's church. I think you understand what I'm saying. But I'm so blessed and so honored to be here tonight. So look around. Many friends in here tonight. I tell each one of you, I love you tonight. Appreciate it. And again, it's an honor for me to stand right here tonight. Brother Melvin, I love you. Brother Alton, I love you. I thank you for the opportunity to stand. And I come tonight to pray it would be a help to you, encouragement to you. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel tonight. 1 Samuel. Book of 1 Samuel. I really wrestled with this. I really thought for weeks now, I thought I had my message that the Lord laid on my heart for tonight, many weeks ago when Brother Alton first called. But just in the last couple of days, and really today, I wrestled with this thing, but I pray it be what the Lord would have for us tonight. And I appreciate the good spirit, good liberty tonight. And you ought to be thankful, church, amen. You ought to be thankful, and don't take it for granted. And you ought to thank the Lord, and better do everything you can to protect it, amen. Everything you can. So I just want to speak tonight again. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm a little nervous tonight. I don't know. I might have to run or something here, get some of this off of me a little bit. But pray will be a help to you, encouragement to you tonight. 1 Samuel, a lot of reading here. And be honest with you, many of you probably, it's very familiar scripture here we find in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And we know that it's dealing with David and Goliath here. And there's many ways we could go with this as far as giants and killing giants and different things of that nature. But there's a few things I hope I can, that the Lord would help us bring out tonight that might be a help to us, an encouragement to you tonight as a child of God. Let me say, we need help. Come on, we need help. We cannot make this thing. We cannot do this thing by ourselves. Lord God, we need help in the day and time and hour in which we live. We need help. We need help. I tell the church all the time, I need help. If I'm going to try to preach, I need help from Him. Can't do it by myself. I'm married to Miss Paige, and I got five beautiful children. But you know, I'm not going to be able to do it by myself. I got to have him. I've got friends. I need help. We've got a church. We need help. We've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God if we're going to make it in these last days, in this last hours which we live. But a very familiar scripture here. If you don't mind, let's stand to our feet for just a moment. 1 Samuel we'll look at, and just stretch your legs as we look here. And I was going to read all this for the sake of time. I'm going to read maybe one scripture and praying that some of you went to Sunday school years ago and you know the rest of the story, but I'm going to bring it out as we go tonight. But if you had never read the whole chapter here, I encourage you to do so tonight when you get home. But we know the story a little bit of David and Goliath, but we get down here. I want to read this verse 29 there in chapter number 17. And it says, and David said, what have I done? Now this next little phrase or question here, it just stirs my soul. It stirs my heart. And every child of God, I don't matter how many times you've read it, how many times you looked at it, there ought to be something deep down inside of us tonight. Every time we read this, every time we see this, it ought to stir something deep down in us tonight. And that question is, he says, David asked this to his brothers in the armies around there. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Thank you. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. God, we need you tonight. We thank you for the good singing. We thank you for the good spirit, God. But God, we need you to speak to our hearts tonight. God, we need you to encourage us tonight. God, your children need help tonight. And God, we ask that you just meet with us for a little bit. God, I can't do anything without you, God. And I need your help. I need your touch tonight. God, we do pray this and ask this in the precious, precious, precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Now again, very familiar scripture here as we look at chapter 17. We all know the story as we look here. And we do know, we found out earlier in scripture, verse 13 there, the same chapter, that David had three older brothers that followed Saul on to war. And we see that. And David was to stay back and keep watch over the sheep, over his father's flock there. Now we see in verse 17 that David's father, Jesse, he finally came. He said, son, I want you to go down. I want you to take food. I want you to take some bread. I want you to take some cheese down there to your brothers, and I want you to check on them. And we see there, and this will be a good verse, young people, we see in verse 20 that David, he obeyed his father, amen. He went on down there. He took the food down there, and he checked on them. He was going to check on them. And there, the next few verses, we see that David got down there, and he was looking around, and he saw the army of Israel on one side of the mountain, and he saw the Philistines on the other side of the mountain. And separate, always separate, was the valley there, they say, of about 300 yards. And he got down there, and he started asking a few questions about what's going on. And he wanted, we see in verse 23, he's really just asking there, what's going on down here? Oh, David was just trying to find out. And we see in verse 24 and 25, they finally said, well, we're afraid. There's a giant over there, Goliath over there. And man, everybody's afraid to face him. Goliath has done come to him. And he said, hey, you send your best towards me. Listen, if you kill me, then we will be your servants. But he said, if I kill you, then you're going to be our servant. So we see the children of Israel, they're afraid. And they're sitting around, I don't know what we're going to do. What's going on? But, you know, we're afraid. We can't handle this giant. And we see David come on the scenes here. We see, first of all, his brothers. Their brother in verse 28, he questioned his motives or his intentions of really why David was even there. And we see that there. And he accused his brother of having the wrong motive for even being there. Now, I believe this statement here that we find here in the Bible in verse 29, is there not a cause? Listen, I believe, again, it's to be one of the greatest phrases, the greatest questions that we see in all the Bible. And as a child of God, it should stir our hearts tonight. As we think about that same exact question, Is there not a cause? You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about tonight? Well, as we see the scene here, there's a lot at stake here. David realized as he asked questions and they told him the answers, as he looked around and seen the army on the other side, he realized there were some things at stake. Now, he realized the life of soldiers was at stake. Not only that, but he realized the life of a nation was at stake. And as I thought about that and where my mind and where my thought is tonight, there's some things at stake tonight for us. As children of God, as Christians, as a Holy Ghost-filled church, there are some things at stake for us tonight. And we ought to be asking that question, is there not a cause? See, it's very easy that we get distracted. It's very easy that things come up during the day. I imagine you can look around tonight. And I know as a pastor, he's probably looking around tonight. I wonder where so-and-so's at. I wonder where so-and-so's at. I wonder where they're at. They should be here. And where's all my leaders? There might be some leaders that are not even here tonight. They should be here. And see, we get distracted in the world in which we're living in. You look at all the chaos that surrounds us today. You look at all the wickedness that surrounds us. You believe we're living in wicked times? Somebody say amen. Amen. Honey, you better believe we're living in wicked times. And we ought to be asking that question, is there not a cause? Now we see here, and I asked you that, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? You say, preacher, what are you saying? What if I could show you my heart tonight? As we look at a few things here, and we talk about, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause of Christ? Listen, David was going that day. He was just simply going. He was going to feed his brothers and check on them. Is that right? He was going to feed them, and he was going to check on them. Now, he found himself doing something else, though. He found himself doing a part of the Lord's work. He found himself taking his turn. It was his turn to step up. Now, may I say to us, what are we doing for the Lord tonight? Really, what are we doing for the Lord tonight? May we think we're doing God a favor when we come in on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights. It's a special thing we're doing for him on Wednesday nights, right? And preacher, I made special time to come in on a revival meeting, and we think we're doing something for the Lord. God, help us tonight with our attitudes. God, help us tonight with our rebellion, with our spirit. God, help us tonight. But I thought about that. What are we doing for? Are we doing our part? Are we taking our turn? Now, I'm going somewhere tonight. Now, we must find our place for the cause of Christ. We've got too many people, too many Christians that are still just wandering around. And I'm not going to teach Sunday school all night, but we know the story of the children of Israel, how they wandered in the wilderness there for 40 years there. Listen, we still got too many Christians today that has not crossed over living the victorious life, that is still walking around in the wilderness today. We need to find our place, and maybe God's been dealing with you. And I hear God's blessing the church. God's blessed it for years. And God's continuing to bless it right now. God's moving. And maybe God's speaking to somebody to find your place, your cause for Christ. As we see here. Now David, he found himself doing something. Now, I want to encourage you, don't be like Saul here. Look at verse 37 with me. We see Saul, and I think it's verse 37, he says, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. But look right here what Paul says. Now, some of you is not going to catch this because it's going to sound very spiritual. You're used to spiritual talk. Now, let me say this. You're used to religion. I'm about sick and tired of religion, amen. I'm about sick and tired of religious talk and spiritual talk, amen. And this is exactly what we see Saul doing here. Saul says, and Saul said unto David, he says, go and the Lord be with thee. Now that sounds very spiritual, does it not? Sounds very spiritual. He says, I want you to go, the Lord be with you. sounds spiritual. Listen, the Lord was not real to Saul. He was not real to Saul right here. He knew the speech to make. He knew the words. This ought to have been Saul's battle, by the way. Saul should have been the one down there fighting. He should have been the one down there. But we see Saul, go, the Lord be with you. Now, we see that. Now, and I believe this, that there's people in our churches today that knows that spiritual talk, that religious talk. That's right, brother. Amen. They know the right things to say. They know the right things to do. Brother, I appreciate you asking me, but we're going to pray about that. We don't know if the Lord wants to. Bless God, there's some things you ain't got to pray about. Amen. Some things are just the will of God. And where I'm at tonight, I'm telling you, my heart's broken in the condition of our society, our world, and our church today. Is there not a cause tonight? I believe there is. We see Saul, it was not from his heart. It was not from his heart. And so many in this day and time is, man, we're living this life in the flesh. It's not from the heart. We're not moved by the Spirit of God. We don't have the Spirit of God dwelling, moving about. Listen, you're going to die out in this thing. You're not going to make it if you're trying to function off the flesh, my friend. You're going to just burn out. Then you'll start blaming the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or somebody else. And simply, it's your fault. You've been doing it in the flesh. Quit blaming everybody else. Got to have the Lord. Then he say, God should be real to us. Now we sing about it. God's taking good care of me. Now we think about that. Man, we ought to shout the roof off tonight to see how good God's been. Honey, I know where I ought to be tonight. I ought to be in hell tonight, amen, with a broke back in hell. But honey, I know how good God's been to me, amen. I'm glad tonight I can proclaim that I know Him. I'm His and He's mine tonight. I can say that I'm saved tonight. It ain't no maybe so, hope so. Honey, I'm telling you, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I am blessed tonight. Amen. And see, there's a lot more that comes down with that. If that's all I had to shout about, I ought to shout from here to eternity. But honey, there's so much more. It's the blessings that He showers down upon me each day. Oh, I'm talking about that grace. Honey, I'm talking about that mercy. I'm talking about each and every day, those new benefits, those new mercies every morning. I'm talking about each and every day. He's taking good care of me. By the way, He's taking good care of you tonight. He's a good God tonight. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Now we see the king of Israel said, go and God be with you. But we see that God was not in his speech. God was not real. He was just going through the motions. And I'll be real honest with you. There's one thing that I fear. And I made this statement Sunday night and had to correct and tell somebody exactly what it meant. Sometimes I fear or I'm afraid. Let me tell you, church, if you heard me say that, what I mean by that is simply this. I don't want to do anything with God's work without God's power. And I'm scared to death. I tell you, I'm scared to death tonight to even try to stand behind this precious pulpit and try to proclaim the gospel without the hand of God. Can't do it. Can't do it. Listen, but we see David here, though. David meant it from his heart. I believe that was all, everything in me tonight, that David meant it with his heart when he said, is there not a cause? Now, I believe there's a cause tonight. As we look at a few things tonight, and I'll give you a few things just in a moment. But I thought about this. Preacher, why are you so adamant about this? Why? What's the cause for? I'm going to tell you why. Because we're living in the last days. Because we're living in perilous times. I'm telling you, because our homes are under attack. Let me just be, we're under satanic attacks. And don't think your family's, that your family's removed. Your family, if you're a child of God trying to live for the Lord, you're under satanic attack. Our minds are under attack like never before. Our children are under attack. Listen, I told you I got 5 children. And my 15-year-old's not here tonight. But I'm telling you, the other 4's here. And I'm telling you, even my 10-year-olds has had battles this year. You know what? Sometimes when they can't get to the man or the daddy, let me be real honest with you, daddies. The next person they're going to get to is the closest to you. They're going to get to your spouse. Or they're going to get to your he's going to try to get to your children. That's why. Is there not a cause, daddies? Well, there's a cause tonight. I'm telling you, we look at our families. We look at our marriages. I'm telling you, men, wives, women, we better safeguard our marriages like never before. We better safeguard our marriages like never before. We better safeguard our churches like never before. And I know, hey, listen, I know it's hard on some of you. Some of you go, you got family members, you got co-workers, when you still go to that old-fashioned church. Well, y'all ought to loosen up a little bit. Y'all do this. You better stay with it. That's the lies of the devil tonight. You better stay with the old blood tonight. You better stay with the old book tonight. That's it. Don't leave it. Is there not a cause? There's some things we're fighting for tonight. Probably all around you. I don't know that much about Coweta, but I do know enough to know there's churches tonight where they wouldn't even meet on a Monday night. They'll meet on a Sunday morning, and it's more or less, it's not church whatsoever. Rocket it out, anything they can do to draw a crowd. Honey, you better listen, and the devil will lie to you. He'll lie to you, and you'll be asking, is this really worth it? Thank God for old-fashioned churches. And I ain't talking about you ain't got over. Hey, I ain't talking about outhouses and ride the horse. Hey, I'm talking about the Word of God tonight and singing the old songs of Zion, amen. Thank God for padded pews and AC and all that good stuff, amen. Thank God, but I'm telling you, is there not a cause? Do think about it, daddies. Think about it, mamas. Oh, there's a great call, God. Oh, I tell you, our children need us tonight more than ever. Our families need, I'm telling you, I'm going to just be real honest. Wives, your husbands need you more than ever before. More than ever before. Husbands, your wives need you more than ever before. Listen, mamas and daddy, your children need you more than ever before. Is there not a cause? I'm talking about a cause far greater than any ball field you can take them to, any vacation you can take them to, any club you can put them in. Honey, I'm telling you, there's a cause tonight. It is the cause of Christ. Is there not a cause? We see here, oh God, is there not a cause? I'm thankful for what we see here, David, and just these few words and what it stirs up in my heart. And I'm telling you, man, there's not much I know, but I know there's a few things. I know that I'm saved, and I do know there's a few things that I'll fight for. And some of those, I'm going to fight for my church, amen. I'm going to fight for my family, amen. And I'm going to fight for my Bible, amen. And there's some things we're fighting for tonight. But we see here, I want you to, if I can just bring out a couple things tonight. As we look here, is there not a cause? Well, what do we got to do? Preacher, what do? When we see everybody else going the other way? When we see everybody else singing the other song? When we see everybody else preaching out of the other book. When we see everybody else counseling church. When all the other kids are dressing different. What do we do, preacher? The first thing we got to do, we just got to stay on the right path. Jeremiah 6:16. Stand ye in the old way. Ask for the old way. Ask for the old path. Got to stay on the right path. You say, preacher, I've gotten off. I've let things come in and distract me and hinder me. Honey, you ought to get back on them tonight, amen. We see here David came up and he saw that a nation was in danger. And by the way, we have a nation been preaching through the book of Judges. And let me say, we see a perfect picture of America there in the book of Judges. And let me see, we see a picture. We have a nation in danger tonight. Listen, I'm telling you, I don't care who you vote for. Let me say, I do care who you vote for. You meet me after church. Amen. But let me say, I'm not here to talk about Democrats or Republicans. I'm telling you both, if you've got your trust in Hillary, if you've got your trust in Donald, honey, you're in bad shape tonight. Our only hope for America is in Jesus Christ tonight. When we have to stand and defend sin, we're in bad shape as America, my friend. God help us. And I'm not going to stand to defend it, amen. We're in bad shape. And you better not close your eyes to it. We're in bad shape. We're in bad shape. And listen, I still love it. That's why I say, is there not a cause? You better believe. Our nation is still a cause enough for we as Christians. Listen, we've been quiet long enough. The church has hushed her mouth. We've been silent. We've not said anything. We've not preached against it. We've hushed preaching on sin. We've done all this. Honey, now the world came out and there's wickedness all around us. God help us tonight. We've got to stay on the right path, church. We got to stay on the right path. Whenever, listen, you're going to be passing, they're going the other way. We've got to stay on the path. Thank God for the men of God. The men of God, your pastor. Listen, you ought to fall up under him. Get up under him. Get up under him and stay on the right path tonight. Oh, God. Listen, David saw that his nation was in danger and that they were about to be defeated. He saw that as the other men just sat there. David saw that. Now, he knew that something needed to be done. You look around. Look around our society. Look around at our churches today. I ain't here to pick on other churches, anything like that, but I'm about sick of other churches. Amen. When you substitute the Word of God, will you throw away, listen, I'm talking about men that stood on the King James Bible for years and all of a sudden they need to grow a crowd and do this, honey, and you substitute the Word of God, honey, to draw a crowd and get a little bit more offerings, honey. We got problems when we change the music, when we change the music and put that worldly little beat, honey, we're changing. God help us. Is there not a cause? Is there? Hey, somebody ought to stand up. Somebody say, preacher, I'm with you tonight. Somebody ought to get behind your pastor and say, pastor, I'm with you tonight. There's a cause. There's been a lot of heart. There's been a lot of tears. There's been a lot of crying. There's been a lot of prayers that went in this very church here. And somebody ought to say, preacher, we're standing behind you, amen. Is there not a cause? If it was the devil's way, he would have tried to close this thing down years ago. This man would have went through what he's went through over the years. And this man wouldn't be going through what he goes through now. You better say, is there not? Don't you get caught up on the little bitty nonsense stuff that means absolutely nothing. That means that. I hope I ain't overstepping, preacher. You're the pastor here. We get caught up on he said this or she said that to me. Honey, it's more than about you. You better remove your little feelings. We got a world that's dying and going to hell. They're taking our families with them, taking our children with them. Got solemn eyes trying to break in our doors. Honey, is there not a cause? You better believe there's a cause tonight for the church. For our children. Hey, I don't know. You guys, I've seen several youngins in here. Seen a little baby right here. Honey, there's a cause tonight. You better do everything you can for these babies. I told them the other night in the church, see, this generation now, many of you sit here, you know both sides. There was a time, man, we had freedom. There was freedom to worship. There was freedom to live. And you've seen it change over the last few decades. The generation that's been born now, they've been born into this. They don't know the way it used to be. Just a few. They don't understand when we talk about the way it used to be. And I'm not talking about walking to school, amen, in the snow uphill both ways. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about just a few, 15, 20 years ago. When we used to be able to leave our doors unlocked, amen. And when we used to have a freedom and liberty. And we've seen that slowly decay and be stripped from us right before our very eyes. And I'm telling you, over there, when they talk about Joshua's generation, the generation, they knew not God, nothing of God. And I'm telling you, the generation is coming up now. Listen, they know nothing of God or His works. Nothing of God. Let me tell you, just to be real honest, there's a difference in going to church and going to, I don't know what you call it. I tell you, I want to go to church when I say I'm going to church. I'm going to be looking for God to meet with us. Every time I go in the house of God, I want to see God meet with us. I need God to meet with us. And we got a generation that knows nothing about God nor His work. Some of you older ones in here, honestly, you could stand up tonight and give testimony after testimony after testimony of the God's blessings and what He's done for you. Some of you came up when you had nothing, absolutely nothing. You had to work for everything you had. Your parents did. There was days you didn't know where the next bite was coming from, but God provided. You've seen people heal. You've seen people saved through prayer. Listen, I'm telling you, this generation knows nothing about that. We need you. Don't be one of those. Well, I'm older now. I'm going to let somebody else. Foolish. Hogwash. Baloney. No good. That's a lie from the devil. You better keep going till you take your last breath. Amen. You're a help. You're a help. Don't quit. You're a help. Amen. Is there not a cause as we look at our church, as we look at our children, we look at our nation? Honey, there's a cause tonight that something ought to stir up deep down inside of us tonight. I'm talking about that we get rid of our laziness, our complacency, our rebellion, our bad attitude, whatever it may be. Say, God, I need you again in my life. God, I need to feel you again. God, I need the joy of salvation in me again. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, we've got to stay on the right path. Got to stay on the right path. Oh, I mean, it ain't easy. It's a battle. Understand. It's a battle. It's a battle. It's a battle. Oh, my. Stay on the right path. Let me say this. Let's keep the right priorities. Oh, God. What is your priorities? I've heard it say before, you can go to your checkbook and pretty much see your priorities. What do you mean, preacher? Well, you can go to your bank account, you see where your money goes, and I'll pretty much tell you where your priorities are. What are your priorities tonight? David said, there is there not a cause? He saw Goliath. He had his priorities in order. Let me tell you, David, he could have ran back home. All he was doing is coming and check them out, bring them a little food. David looked around. He saw Goliath out there. He could have ran back home. Let me tell you what some of our Christians are doing, church members today. They're running back home. Every time something gets hard or looks big, running back home. And we I'm telling you, we got a generation of babies. I'm talking about crybabies. I'm talking about even our adults this day and time. Well, they didn't say this, or they said that, and we run back home. Honey, don't, is there not, I'm talking about it's battle time, it's war time in these days and hour in which we live. And listen, I want to know, there's a separation going on right now. There's a separation going on. And now listen, I need to know, and I'm telling you, my church and my family and my friends, I want to know those who are going to be standing with me, amen. When the battle gets hot, I don't want those that's going back home to be leaving me. David could have went back home, but he said, there is a cause. He knew what was at stake. He knew what was before him. He knew the giant that was before. He knew it. So I'm telling you something. We know what we're facing today. We know the wickedness and the things that are around us today. Oh, me. What are your priorities? Where's your time going? Where's your money going? Listen, we all have a part in this thing. Is there a preacher? I don't get to sing like so-and-so. I don't get to do this like so. We all got a part in this thing. You look at the army, you have soldiers. Then you have doctors. Then you have cooks. And you have this one and that one. Honey, we all in the Bible speaks of we are many members which make up one body in the Bible. Listen, we all have different parts. We all can't be the pastor. We all can't lead the music. We all can't do this. Honey, we got a part to do in this for the cause of Christ. And it's that important. We better get our priorities in order. It's not about us, but it's about Him and carrying people to heaven with us that they will miss hell. Amen. We need to have our priorities in order tonight. By the way, church ought to be our priority. I'll give you a little something here. It ought to be God. It ought to be your spouse. It ought to be your children. It ought to be your church. Here's where we're at today. Children,
right.
Activities,
right.
Job,
yes.
Church, then God. We've got them all backwards today. We better get our priorities in order. I'm talking about priorities, church. And our relationship with the Lord is much more important than any travel ball team that your son or daughter ever played. Now, y'all may not have that kind of stuff over here in Coweta County. But I'm telling you, it's more important than your child making that travel ball team and missing Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Listen, that gymnastic, that golf course, that deer stand that you're about to put up, that fishing boat that you have, or that vacation you take once a month. Honey, I'm telling you, we better get our priorities in order. And don't, hey, when we don't look around. Well, I don't know why God's doing this to me. You're not right with God, and God's trying to get your attention. Keep going through the same things. I stay in a battle. It might be because you're not right with God. Get your priorities in order. Don't worry. Listen, you just can't. I better go home. Hallelujah. Get your priorities in order. All right, I'm talking about in our personal relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, this is a battle that I face, oh God. And I know if I do, each and every one of you do. Oh God, I need that relationship with you. Understand, if you've got a spouse and you know when things ain't right. Brother Billy, you ever had a little hiccup with Miss Benita? A little bit. Do you know about it? When we're not right, our relationship's not right, honey, ain't nothing right. Nothing feels right. Nothing feels right. You know exactly what I'm saying. When you're that relationship's broken with the one you love, ain't nothing. I mean, you ain't feeling right. You can't do right. It's the same way with the Lord. Oh, God, He's begging for the intimacy there with you and I to have that close relationship. Oh, that personal relationship. I'm telling you, we got to have it, folks. This ain't preacher talk. This ain't spiritual talk. If you're going to make it, I'm talking about a real people in a real world here. Listen, I got problems just like you got. I'm married, amen? Come on, men, come on. Don't be so scared. Come on. Come on. She'll kill you in church, I promise. She might wait on the way home. You can say amen there. That was a joke. Maybe it took the fifth on that one. Oh, God, help us. We've got to have the Holy Ghost living with Him. We ain't going to make it without Him. We better, I'm just a real person, dealing with real people, dealing with real problems. There ain't nothing secret about it. I've got problems. My wife's got problems. We got problems. We've got kids. Guess what? We got kids' problems. And we got everybody else telling us how we ought to do it. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. We got problems. But I know this. I can't make it without Him. You better believe this ain't just preacher talk. Listen, about prayer and Bible. You better find somewhere, get your priorities right. You find time where you can get in the Word of God. Find time where you can get alone with God in prayer. It's the only way we're going to make it. I don't care if you're singing in the choir today, you're in church every day. You can neglect those things sooner or later, that tempter's going to come. You better watch out. It's the only way, our personal relationship. Get our priorities in order. Oh, God, help us. And let me say this, and I'm just about finished. I think. With this, and there's a lot of people that's lied along the way and said, this thing's easy. It's not that easy. It's not that easy. You ask some of these older men of God. Brother Michael here, Miss Ed and I, Melvin, some of you are out. It's not always easy. I bet either one of them tell you they wouldn't trade nothing for their journey. Some of them's buried loved ones. Some of them's buried children. Some of them's been talked to like you wouldn't believe. Talked about, lied about. Some of their best friends walk out on them. It ain't always been easy. Let me say, with this Christian life, it comes, you got to have sacrifice. It's sacrifice. See, we got a generation that's lazy. It's give me, give me, give me. We see there in verse 31 and verse 32 there, it says, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now we see this, and talking about sacrifice. This camp was filled with soldiers. Saul was the one that was supposed to go anyway. Then you had the other soldiers that was there. But we see David said, I'll go. I'll go. You're talking about sacrifice. David knew that it was possible he could lose his life. We won't do it because it might cost us $2. It might cost us from watching. What do y'all want? And yet David said, I'll go, him knowing all the sacrifice that could be there. It may cost his very life. Honey, I'm telling you, serving the Lord. Listen, I'm telling you, it's got to come with some sacrifice, willing to put into life. And listen, listen, obey. You've got to obey. Obeying God costs something. It's not easy. It's not cheap. And let me say this, that God in Christ, His grace is not, and I'm tired of these churches selling Him out to being a cheap grace. It's not a cheap grace that you can sin and do whatever you want to. And God, listen, it's not cheap grace. It costs Him His life. You may lose something. You may lose friends. But I promise you this, ask some of these older saints in here tonight. These that's learned this, those who have yielded to Him and those who have gave to Him and those who have surrendered and those who have sacrificed through the years to God Himself, they receive a lot more greater blessings than they've ever given. Somebody help me that you received a lot more than you gave. Amen. You better believe it. You better believe it. Sacrifice, right sacrifice. As we come with a song tonight, let me give you one more. What do we need today? We need the right power. The right power. Why are you talking about, preacher? Well, there in verse 45, he said, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. And I like this. He says, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. He said, okay, it ain't nothing in me tonight. And listen, if you're going to do this thing, and fight off hell around your family and around your church and around all these things, your children. Listen, you're not going to be able to do it in your flesh. You're going to have something greater in you than what's in the world, amen. You're going to have to do it through the Spirit of God. You're going to have to. We see that the Spirit of God and not of flesh. I'm telling you, I said it a while ago. That's why we see people dropping out, getting out of this thing, because we're trying to do it by the Spirit of flesh. You're going to burn out. Amen. It's going to take the Lord to do these things. Let me say this. When we do this, when we keep our priorities and we put all these things in perspective here and do what we're supposed to, you say, well, what does it matter? It matters for all eternity. I don't know how many older grandparents we got here. Let me just be honest with you. If some of you older ones would have got out years ago when something came your way, I wonder where your family might be today. You better believe you think just a Tuesday night. It's not by accident that we're here tonight. It's by the providential hand of God that who's under the sound of my voice and up under this roof tonight that we're here tonight. And when we do these things, we're talking about making a difference in all eternity. God help us. Listen, I really don't have much to leave my kids one day as far as material things. Started collecting cast iron. I like the old pots and cast iron, yeah. Help me out, Brother Dan. What am I looking for? No, what they used to do horseshoes and all with. Anvil, but come on. Blacksmith, thank you. Come on, y'all thought y'all from the whole country over here. And good gracious. I don't mess my thought up now. Oh, my, I don't have much to leave them. Might leave them some black pots, some cast iron. And I know what some of y'all thinking. You know what? I hope I can leave them more than material things. Somewhere along the way, I hope, and I know that they've learned about the Lord. Learned about the Lord. Listen, I don't usually put my kids up on, because I don't want to put them on the pedestal when I'm preaching and everybody else knock on. I don't do that. But I like to say that little boy was mine. I don't mean I don't tear his tail up, amen. But God, I want to give them more than this world can give them, God. And that's why, let me tell you this, why I think the church is so, it's not only me, but I count on every one of my church members doing something for my children, putting something in my children I may not be able to. Is there not a cause? I don't know where you're at tonight, but I'm telling you, it's for all eternity. Some of the ones that made the biggest impact in my life were some of those old saint women. Oh, God. Week after week, come in a little Sunday school class, faithful, open up the Word of God. I didn't realize it until many, 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 many years later, what they instilled deep down in my heart. You better believe, is there not a cause? Let me ask you, church, honestly, is there not a cause? Are we not living in the last days? Are we not living in wicked times? Are we not under attack tonight as churches, as family, as a nation? And honey, right now is not the time to sit down and say, we got to be just friendly to everybody. We got to be nice. It's time the Christians stand up and have a backbone about ourselves and have a little boldness about ourselves and say, thus saith the Lord. We ain't got to bow down to every little doctrine that comes along, every little gimmick group that comes along. It's time we stand, and with love. With love. Better stand. cause tonight. If it ain't for nothing else for your children, your grandchildren, that's a cause. You get behind the man of God. You get behind your leaders. Sometimes it's just right for everybody else to just hush and follow them. Because there's a cause. Sometimes our feelings are not that important when it comes to the great cause of Christ. And I wonder tonight if there's anybody here, you don't got to say nothing publicly. There ought to be some Christians tonight say, God, stir up something in my heart. God, put that zeal. But be real honest, some of you know there was a time when you had that zeal. Oh, you had that zeal that, man, you was telling everybody about church. You was telling everybody about God. You was calling your family members, inviting them. And somewhere along the way, distractions came, storms came, hurt came, whatever it may be. But you've lost that. And you know the way it used to be. And you've made excuses. You've made excuses. And somewhere deep down, you want it back. You want it back. I'm asking tonight, Christians, that that's us, that we just ask God to help us. Help us. And God, give us the boldness to stand and do the things we need to. And if you're not here, if you're here tonight and you're lost, you've never been saved, why don't you come tonight and ask Jesus to save you? Listen, if you don't, we're talking about this thing's about to wrap up. Then it's too late. If you die without Christ, you're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. You don't have to. Christ loved you. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. If you've never been saved tonight, you're talking about a cause. Oh, you are the cause that Christ died for you. And would you come tonight? I wouldn't worry about who's around me, what you got to do later on tonight, what you got to do tomorrow. If you're not saved, I'd come tonight and ask the Lord to save me. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have them turn it over to you. Thank you, brother. I hope I didn't overstep anything. These altars are open. I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't hesitate, church.
Search me, oh God. Cleanse me from